The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 112 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am sitting where Stephen Mill would normally be, but he is off. He's on his holidays again. He's on holiday all the time, it feels like. So, in my place where I would normally be sitting for the Big Scottish Football Podcast is a former Dumbarton player who I understand scored a goal for Dumbarton against Rangers many moons ago, but went on to lose the game by 4-1. Yes, Dumbarton's star player of that time is the one and only Mark Wilson.
Yes, thank you. You're 2015, what a year.
You're allowed to clap yourself.
Yes, thank you. And by the way, well done in doing your research on that. How did you find that?
It's an encyclopedia. An encyclopedia of footballing knowledge.
I just told you 30 seconds previously.
No, you didn't. You really didn't. Mark Wilson's here. You're right.
Thanks. I'm great, mate. I'm great. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, I enjoy this.
What are you doing?
As in right now.
What are you up to? How's life?
Right now, I should be in at Partick Thistle, but I've taken time off. We had a poor result. Poor Scottish Cup, by the way, for the first team and the under-18s this week. Put out of both. So, not ideal.
No, Queen's Park knocking out in penalties.
Yeah, they did. That was the first team. Even worse for the under-18s yesterday.
And what happened?
Got beat by Banks of D.
Did you?
Oh,
the under-18s at Partick Thistle, and you're in charge of that?
Exactly. We beat Rangers, the holders, the last round, and then knocked out yesterday. So, it wasn't a good Sunday, mate, for me. But I'm here to be cheered up by your good self.
How are you still in a job after losing to the Banks of D?
Did compose my resignation letter this morning. I've just yet to press send. So if you cheer me up, I may just delete it and carry on.
Okay, so here we are. We'll look back at the weekend's football. We'll touch on what happened in the European stuff as well last week. But let's get to what we did at the weekend. So clearly Sunday was a poor day for Mark Wilson.
Rubbish.
It wasn't a good day for you getting knocked out of the Scottish Cup with Partick Thistle under 18 by the Banks of D. Did they win the day before?
Hamilton beat them 2-1. 2-1. On the very same ground. So it goes to show you they've got good side up at Banks of D.
At all levels.
Very, very strong. Yes. Very strong. They're going to be good next year.
So apart from Sunday, what else did Mark Wilson get up to at the weekend?
Well, you know what was a bonus? Because I was out the house all Sunday, I missed out on putting the Christmas decorations up.
So they're all up when you got home?
Oh, it was brilliant.
You walked in, it was all Christmassy.
It was all Christmassy because that struggle of getting the Christmas tree out the loft and jamming it through the loft door is one of my most hated things to do. And Leanne and Jacob, my boy, had done it all for me. So I was delighted.
And how's the tree looking?
Magnificent.
And the decorations?
Brilliant.
All nice.
They've done a great job. I just ruin it when I'm there. I start adding loads of rubbish.
Bits and pieces and all that stuff.
Tinfoil.
So we
stuff
actually
like
put the Christmas tree up as well. And it was yesterday. So there was me, the wife, my youngest, my eldest, and my Doug Harley. We had a glass of red wine and we had The Wizard of Oz playing on the telly.
Nice.
It was a lovely night. Just putting the Christmas tree up, enjoying the movie, taking our time.
Did Doug put many decorations on?
No, the Doug sat and watched the Munchkins on the telly. Harley loves the Munchkins. It must be that high-pitched.
Loves the Munchkins.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. There's something about a high-pitched noise that attracts the dogs. So I think every time the Munchkins came on the telly, the dogs stopped and watched the telly.
You want to eat them. You've got a big Rottweiler, haven't you?
I've got a big Rottweiler. Talking of Christmas and Christmas decorations, can I just say, for those of you who are not watching on YouTube, the Christmas tree in this studio is a disgrace. It is an embarrassing Christmas tree, and it's behind Mark Wilson. I cannot believe how pathetic that Christmas tree is.
It's dreadful. You know what? My mate offered a free, real one to decorate this beautiful studio, and somebody's made the executive decision to go with this nonsense. It just looks sad.
Doesn't it?
It's like you'd expect to find that in Gordon Dale's house, that kind of, you know, that horrible flat and with that.
Now, you'd expect that to be in Gordon Dale's basement where he goes down the stairs. Sits on his ain with the sad old Christmas recliner. Tree in the corner.
The old crispy recliner. You don't want to go near that at Christmas. I tell you that.
Ooh. The crispy recliner. Does he have a crispy recliner?
Yeah. He's seen some things in that thing. A piece of furniture. He can't trade that in. That just needs to go to the skip after he's done with it.
Have you seen it?
Oh, have I seen it?
Have you sat in it?
No, when they touch it. Need the old hazmat suit on, mate, to get in that. Aye.
Do people know about the cleaner?
He's quite open about it.
Oh, is he?
He's
right,
quite
okay.
Open. Uh-huh. He has a rare time in it. He loves it. Every weekend.
What room is the recliner in?
Living room.
Is it in the living room?
Aye, he doesn't keep it in the basement anymore. Got promoted to the living room.
It's up there for everybody to see.
It is.
I take he's got a few stories to tell.
Oh,
well.
More than a few, man. Aye. More mm-hmm. than a few. But, at least a couple a week.
And this is a podcast where it's aimed at adults.
Yeah.
It's an adults podcast.
Well, he's got the recliner. He's obviously got all the channels you can ask for that he legally pays for. And now seeing that the old fire stick guy got the jail, but he pays for them all, and he's got access to them all, so he has. Okay. It's a great time.
Have you ever been there when he sat in the recliner?
No. Invited many times.
What,
rejected
to watch?
Every time.
Rejected every time. Okay, so a pathetic Christmas tree in the studio. Horrible. That needs to be fixed. I mean, sooner rather than later. There's not even a Christmas light for it.
Have we not got any lights on that?
Is there not? I see there's not a plug over there. You know, is there not a switch to switch on?
But somebody's forgot to put the lights on.
And see if you can switch them on.
Wait a minute.
Put the headphones down. Because it might look better with the lights on.
Wait a minute.
Go and see.
This is not going to short fuse
then. Don't know. Put it in.
Oh!
Sit down and speak.
Look at that. The big switch on.
Woo. Christmas light switch on. That actually looks really nice now.
Nah, it still looks rubbish, man.
You're not happy with
it's
that?
It's one of the, what do you call them, fibre optics aye. Ends. Aye. I'm a fan of the lights that you have to wrap around. And that was the bonus that I missed yesterday, because it always results in a family fight where you get the big 320 block of lights.
And you
have to go, right, you pass it to me, I'll pass it to you, and before you know it, you're
tangled. You wrap it around and you're fighting and arguing. Aye. And I know what you
and
mean.
Then you've not tested them, so when you switch them on, one's off, so you need to unwrap them.
Again, and
nightmare.
Put the one that's duff at the back of the tree so that nobody can see it. I know what you mean. So, yes, Christmas decorations and tree were put up, and I also watched a fantastic movie at the weekend, which I cannot wait to tell you about. So can I have my film theme, please? Thank you. Can I just say, we've got no producer John today. He's got the day off. So we've got Ross the Goth in pushing the buttons. There's Ross the Goth. Hello, Ross. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. You are an actual Goth.
I am indeed.
Yes. So he's Ross the Goth.
Yep. Look, mate, you'll need to explain to me, what is a Goth? What's the definition of a Goth?
See, before you explain, I go and turn my movie theme off, because I need to hear this. Just turn the movie theme off.
There
please.
You go, it's off.
Put on some heavy metal while you're explaining this in the back.
I don't know if we have any.
No, it's fine. Just turn the music off. That's fine. So go and explain to Mark Wilson, who doesn't know what a Goth is.
Well, it's like, you know, like I work in the cat house, so that's pretty Goth. I have lots of band tattoos and play guitar and have long hair. Right. All that sort of stuff.
What do you wear?
Like, just band tops, usually.
Band tops.
Yeah.
And that makes you a Goth?
Yeah.
Do you wear black eyeliner? Because a lot of Goths wear black eyeliner.
Yeah, I have glasses.
They love it.
So I don't
wear.
And
you know, wear it under your glasses?
Nah, I just look, I paint my nails quite a lot. Gandhi, I was not a fan of my painted nails. He slags them all the time.
Ah, the painted nails is a telltale sign.
Of a Goth.
Of Goth. Yeah. That's what I think, Goth.
And when you paint your nails, what colour?
Black or orange, usually.
Black or orange? I don't think. Is orange a Goth thing?
That's like the Halloween. Only that's Halloween, the Halloween colour.
I was going to say, God, yeah. Okay. And when did you actively decide to become a Goth at one stage, or is it just something
who
that
inspired
you?
I was inspired by playing the game Guitar Hero. I played that a lot.
Played Guitar Hero on the PlayStation. That was a great game.
And then I was like, yeah, this is the kind of music I like. And then it just kind of kept going and kept going.
Is it because of Marilyn Manson that you became a Goth?
No, I'd say it was Bullet for My Valentine. Was the one that got me into.
Who?
And Bullet for My Valentine are the band that got me into.
That just sounds like
playing the Hydro
sort of
in January,
massacre.
Boys. We should all go.
Playing
podcast
the Hydro
night out.
In
yep.
January.
Hold on, they're playing the Hydro.
Aye?
They can sell 13,000 tickets.
It's sold out as well.
We've never. What?
Don't worry, boys. I'll wrangle. We'll all go together. I'll get in the mosh pit.
Nah, you're all right.
Go and find a club with some of their music.
So we've got Ross the Goth, who's producing the show today. And we need to point out something, Ross the Goth, because the big screen here in the studio with us doesn't have the big Scottish football podcast on the big screen. It's got Super Scoreboard's European football coverage. This isn't Super Scoreboard, and we're not talking European football. Why is our picture and our logo not on the big screen?
You're going to have to take that up with producer John, who... I messaged and has dingied me twice. who told me, under no circumstances, mate, it's fine. I'll help you out. Just absolutely patch me. So I have no idea. The TV is broken, I believe.
The best football show in the UK.
Yeah.
6 p.m. to 8 p.m. every night. Clyde One.
I thought you were talking about this podcast.
No, I need to do a bit of advertising. I'm on also on this show because there'll be listeners to your podcast who don't listen
to
this.
They are. There'll be a few.
We'll tune into that.
Okay. Anyway, we've got the wrong screen.
European. Suits me. Super scoreboard. I played in Europe.
Yeah, we'll touch on that later. Okay, right. It's now time to review a movie. I watched an unbelievably good movie at the weekend.
Okay.
Oddity.
Never even heard it.
Oddity is called Oddity, and it is a murder mystery.
I like a murder mystery.
It's
okay.
A murder mystery, however, with a touch of horror.
Oh, as if it couldn't get any better. Horror.
I mean, it is. Now, my wife's not the biggest fan of horror movies and tries to avoid them. But I said to her, let's give this a go. Mm-hmm. I've read good things about it. And it is a murder mystery, but then there's a touch of horror in it and paranormal. And it just works. And
you've ruined it by paranormal.
But it's not paranormal in the true sense of the word paranormal. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give anything away.
Is it like The Sixth Sense?
No.
Like he was dead.
Do you know what I would say? People have not seen that.
He wasn't dead. He's just...
Oddity, it's a movie, British made, Irish movie. It's fantastic. That's all I'm going to say is Oddity. I can't say much more without giving it away. A wife gets murdered in it. That's all I'm going to say.
It's like you're giving... How did she get murdered?
The wife gets murdered in a tent.
That sounds like the husband all day long. It's a husband. That's where I would go right away. If you watch 24 Hours in Police Custody, go to the husband, the wife gets murdered.
You always do. And in 93% of all murder cases in the United States, it's by somebody that you know.
Right. But, so is that the paranormal thing? It's not.
I'm shaking my head. So you're asking too many questions.
Oh, well, I find out a bit more. Barry Norman gave us more about films.
Is this a new film? It's a new film. It's this year. It's called Oddity. Get it watched. It is phenomenal. I'll show you a picture of the poster because I'm going to post it on Twitter a little later.
Right.
And tell me what you think of the poster. So I've got the poster here of Oddity. There it is there. Look at the thing below the poster.
Oh, right, okay. I've switched off.
No, don't!
I switched off, yeah.
No.
So it's almost like a reflection of the woman. Yeah, but it's some sort of demon or something like that. Is it? Zombie? Mutant? Whatever.
Just watch it.
Nah, I'm not watching
Mark, please, don't be put off by that picture.
Just cut off the paranormal, the zombie bit, and the woman.
It's not a zombie!
That looks like a zombie.
I've seen zombies.
That looks like a zombie.
It's made of wood.
It's made of wood. A wood zombie. What? How does she die? With a skelf? What do you mean a wood zombie?
It's not a zombie. You have to watch it to understand
that. That's easy to defeat.
You're making it sound like
you set it on fire.
You're making it sound like a pile of shite. It's not.
It does sound like a pile of
shite. Oddity is a great movie. Get it watched. Okay.
I watched Gladiator 2 at the weekend. Actually, went to cinema. You seen that?
No.
You reviewed that?
Is it good?
Very, very samey as the first one.
Oh, right.
It's his son kicking a bit.
Aye.
Maximus, his son.
Is it worth watching?
It's worth a watch. But one bit I could not get. Now, I know the Colosseum was filled with water back in the olden days. That was some of the battles in the water. But they added sharks in the Colosseum this movie.
No, that would not.
And I'm thinking right away, how are they transporting the sharks back in Roman days through the seas? And how have they caught so many of them? And they put them in, and they're eating the gladiators. So right away, I'm switched off at that. But
gone.
Well, I know there's historical inaccuracies everywhere in it, but that was the worst bit.
So them transporting sharks to the Colosseum, it's a good question. How did they transport them?
Yeah.
Because you'd need water. Aye. You'd have to catch them.
How did they catch a shark? How did they know in those days that sharks
existed?
Bad. You didn't want to mess with them in the water because I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that was the bit I switched off.
But again, similar question. Who built the pyramids? I think it's alien built.
Right.
I think that the pyramids were alien built, and I think the people who built the aliens will return to Earth one day.
Were the people who built the aliens?
No, the people who built, sorry, the people who built the pyramids, the aliens,
right,
who built the pyramids, are going to come back to Earth one day.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, this was made by people out with our world from another planet. You don't think the pyramids were made by aliens?
No.
You really don't?
No.
Well, no amount
of X-Files music is going to convince me in the background.
And according to some conspiracy theorists,
right,
apparently aliens are going to return to Earth tomorrow.
Really?
December 3rd. They're going to be all over the skies.
Oh, God.
Have you not been keeping an eye on the news?
That's a kick in the balls.
So actually, there have been alien...
Because I've done all my Christmas shopping, so... As a kick in the balls, if they're coming back tomorrow.
Apparently.
To what? To ruin the Earth? Or build more pyramids?
Have you not been keeping an eye on the news?
I have been, but not the crazy news.
No, no.
This is
genuine news. There have been drones over military bases that the military cannot explain in America and in the United States in recent weeks and months. There have been sightings unlike before of unidentified AAPs all over America and the United Kingdom. And this is them starting to make their way to Earth and show themselves and explain who they are, what they are, and why we are here. And apparently December 3rd, tomorrow, is when they're going to reveal themselves over the skies of our planet.
But who's told the conspiracy theorists that? The aliens?
Well, there was a committee meeting in Congress... where people who said they've worked with the aliens, know that the aliens exist, know that we've been reverse engineering the technology of aliens, they sat down in front of Congress and told the world that they could be from the sea and the ocean and not just from space. They could also be from another dimension and will just appear from another dimension.
Right.
Have you not been keeping up with the news?
Well, you know what? It's going to be... We're going to find out soon enough.
Tomorrow!
I like that, because it's not like it's in 2040.
Tomorrow.
We'll have to wait, so this could be outdated by the time you're listening to it.
Yeah, we might not be here.
Again, I hope I get my show fee before... I get paid in cash before I go at the door so I can blow it. Oh, man,
right,
aliens.
Let's get to reaction to last week's podcast, and a lot of the reaction came because of my shower habits. So before I get to reaction, I'm going to ask you the same questions I asked producer John and Stephen last week. All right? You ready, Mark?
Yes.
Same question to you. When you're in the shower, what's the first thing you do? You step under the water. You step under the water.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you do?
I reach for the shower gel.
You reach for the shower gel. Okay. Question number two. South to north, north to south?
North to south.
North to south.
Yeah.
And do you wash your legs?
No, that's a great point. I never wash my legs.
Most people don't.
That's a great point. I've never thought that.
73% of people don't wash their legs.
By the way, that sounds like a made-up number. How
no,
you got
it's
that?
Not, because that's why...
73% of what?
That's
these
why
listeners?
73% of the public.
The population.
Of the population don't wash their legs.
Right.
It was a survey that we were talking about last week.
Right, you've not just popped that number.
No.
Okay.
So you're north to south, and the first thing you reach for is... Is it north to south?
Yeah. North, then south, yep.
South, and then up the way again?
Spend a bit of time south, yep. Just to the midriff, and then back up.
Back up.
Reach
again.
For the shampoo.
And then back down again,
back
and then back
down.
Up again.
Yep.
So anyway, so a lot of reaction to the shower habits, and this is from Scranbross 9444. Just when you thought Ewan could get any weirder, he pipes up with brushing his teeth in the shower. This guy is a genuine maniac. The first thing I do when I get in the shower is I brush my teeth. Do you brush your teeth in the shower?
I don't.
Do you know anyone who does?
I do, and I'm going to back you up in this.
Who
my good
it?
Lady, Leanne.
Does she really?
Leanne, but we have had...
Can I phone her?
If you want, aye. I'm sure she'll love to...
I'm going to find it for
sure.
So
shower habits. But it's one of these mad things I speak to her all the time. How can you do that? Because the warm water, the beauty of me brushing my teeth, or what I enjoy about brushing my teeth, is the cold water in the morning. It's the first thing I do. Go in the bathroom, brush my teeth before I go in the shower. But Leanne's the opposite. Have you got an electric toothbrush?
No.
She's got an electric one. And goes in the shower with it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Do you know who
is she? Are you actually phoned her?
Yeah.
She's kind of ignore you. She'll be in the middle of a meeting with the CEO.
She always answers me.
The company.
Do you know who I nearly
phoned? Your call has been
phoned. I'll phone her back later. Yes. Do you know who I nearly phoned there? Leanne Dempster, remember?
I'll get her on actually, see if she does it.
So your wife, or your wife, I say, your missus, what brushes her teeth is the first thing she does in the shower?
She jumps in the shower right away. Electric toothbrush.
Brush, brush, brush.
Away she goes.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. I don't know if she goes north to south or south to north though.
You've never showered together?
I suppose we have, but not concentrating on shower gel at that point, am I?
From Janet,
there is something going north at that point. It's not a shower gel, I tell you that.
From Janet McFarlane, reaction to last week's show. Hair first, north to south, and then legs. Ewan lives on another planet. DM McDonald, Ewan brushing his teeth in the shower tells me hearts have put him into a pit so deep he can't get out of. Absolute crackpot. Don't even want to know what he'll be driven to if things get worse for them. Yeah, it's not looking good for hearts. Ross G, brushing your teeth in the shower is something I've never heard in 7 decades, never not once. Mad 756, a plumber once told me there is so much bacteria in a shower hose that brushing your teeth in it isn't the best idea.
How's he got into that conversation with a plumber? That's what I want to know.
From Claire, should I be worried? I brush my teeth in the shower. No, you got nothing to worry about, Claire, because there's myself and Mark Wilson's missus, Leanne, also brushing her teeth in the shower. I don't rinse my mouth out with the water. I just brush my teeth.
I was going to say that. So warm water.
I don't
rinse.
No, you wouldn't do that. You just brush your teeth, spit it out.
How do you stop? Yeah. So you just brush your teeth and you're like, okay, I'm done. And then carry on with your day.
I carry on with my shower.
Where are you keeping your toothbrush in this proceedings? In the shower?
No, I just put it into the holder thing while I'm washing and get myself...
I'm not covered in all sorts of debris that's coming off your body.
No, the brush is in a holder thing in front of the shower. It's away from me. Right, okay.
I think that's...
You're overthinking it.
Manky.
On Producer John, reaction to last week's show. Why does Producer John look like the example you were shown in primary school for Stranger Danger?
Poor John.
That's from Ross. Why does Producer John look like the example you were shown in primary school for Stranger Danger?
It's not a great comparison, that.
Platini 120. Producer John needs to be voted as underrated, a sensational oracle in his field.
Right, I need to tell this about John. We were at a gig, Gordon Dale and I, last Saturday after the show, and it was John that was organising it for a very good cause. But John, when we arrived, he was the compere. He decided. I arrived in the car park. Daz arrived just before me. So I phone him and I say, are you in the place yet? And he says, I'm in here. He said, hurry up and get in. And so it's coming through the loudspeaker in my car. I said, I'm just coming. I said, Who's that on the background? He said, hurry up, Producer John's telling jokes. He's doing a stand-up set.
He's not!
So we go in, and there's 200 people in this room, right? And it's like a sportsman. It's all long tables. So I go in, and Daz is at the back of the room, and he's going, holy shit. He's 15 minutes in. Nobody can stop him. And he's telling his jokes to silence. So anyway, he gets off, and we have dinner. And he has a few Guinnesses and he relaxes, but he's still to do the auction. Right. So somebody wins the Lauren Shanklin signed top, right, in the raffle. Right. And they kindly come over and say, there you are, put that in the auction. Very kind of them. John, brilliant, okay. So John goes up, he's doing the auction. Next prize is the Lauren Shanklin, kindly donated by the guy that won it in the raffle. And he says, he's holding it up. Who's given me, whatever, £100? Nothing. Come on, £100. Come on, come on, come on. And he's holding up. I say, Daz, is that that's not Shanklin's top he's holding up, is it? What is that? Nobody's bidding. Everybody's having a look at it going, I'm not bidding for that. John got somebody shouts, that's not a Shanklin top. He's like, what? Turns around, it's just a jumper, a random jumper. He's picked up. There's a jumper on stage. He's not even looked at that.
He just picked up a jumper.
He's auctioning it. Oh shit, it's not Shanklin's top. But he ended up raising loads of money. But I was falling off my seat. He's trying to get money for an old jumper. Brilliant.
Producer John. Wow.
Amazing.
Ross Sagoth today. So more reaction to last week's show before we get to the football from Derek. Generally curious if anyone can answer this. If a goalkeeper is booked for time wasting, how many more times after yellow until he or she see red?
Mm.
Do you want to answer that?
No.
Okay.
Because I don't know the answer.
George Burns got to feel for poor Ewan. He hates being called Jambo Bear and he hates being called a journalist. There's only one thing for it. He'll be known as Jambo Bear. Oh, sorry.
Journal Bear.
Journal Bear. Nah, I'm not having that either. Journal Bear. And from Jar, Stephen went to M&S. He's looking good for being a 60-something with more money than taste buds.
M&S is brilliant. Christmas Eve, mate. Say it all the time, every year. M&S, Christmas Eve, yellow sticker, get your turkey. Half the price.
Okay.
Always leave it every year.
Okay. Right, let's get to the football. Should we do the football? Let's do the football. Right, stories from the week. Celtic draw with Club Brugge. I expected them to win that game.
Yeah.
Drew 1-1. Not the best performance. Club Brugge were decent, though.
Very good, by
the
way.
Very good.
Did you see their manager?
I did.
Managing in Wales part-time a couple of seasons ago, then goes back home, takes the resis, then gets punted up to the first team in a Champions League manager. But you're right, Ewan, very impressed with Bruges. I thought Celtic were a wee bit flat.
In the first half particularly?
Flat, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, did you think it was just a case of turning up because they'd already done the job against Leipzig?
I don't think so. I just think, individually, I thought too many of them were off it. See, against Leipzig, everybody hit such a high level and you see the way they passed the ball and everything was accurate, everything was quick. It was the opposite against Bruges. They were struggling to connect passes, struggling to create anything. Mm-hmm. And I think Bruges sussed them out or done their homework on them. But then the opposite side, when Bruges had possession and were going forward, I thought Celtic struggled to work Bruges out. How they were moving, how they were getting so much space in between the lines. And it took to half time for the Celtic manager, and I think he admitted it, to change a few things in their press. And they were better in the second half, but I thought Bruges were good for the point and maybe could have won it, actually.
Yeah, they were very good, but good point for Celtic. That's eight they've got.
Eight they've got. They need to get to the magical 10, don't they?
They've got
a good chance.
They'll get it. They're going to beat Young Boys. That'll guarantee it. I fancy them against Zagreb away.
Point, yeah, and Zagreb, maybe. That'll be difficult, but maybe grab a point. If they don't beat Young Boys, then they don't deserve to be in
the
playoffs.
But I think I said it from day one. I think they get to the playoffs, minimum.
You did say it, actually.
Said
I was on here right at the start.
I said it from the get-go. Yeah. Rangers, great win away in France, 4-1 against Nice. Very good. I know there was a lot of talk about the changes that Nice had made and the injuries, etc. But you can only beat what's in front of you. And I thought Rangers are really impressive.
They were brilliant. And we've heard this argument over and over again, especially since Thursday night as well, that they're just a different team in Europe. They look like they play with more freedom.
Mm. Less pressure.
The weight's off their shoulders. I've been there before where you're so tense and you're scared to maybe make a pass or you're scared to make a run because what if something goes the other way? In Europe, Rangers look like that's all off their shoulders.
Aye.
Like they just play with a freedom. Agumani up front sometimes looks a player. He did look a player on Thursday night.
He had his moments yesterday, when we'll get to that. But do you think there's a decent player in there?
Yeah.
A proper player?
I think there is. I think he'll need a run of games like any player at the top end of the pitch. But you see something, don't you? You see something that excites the fans. And I think that's what Rangers fans are missing. When they look at all their collective squad, who really excites them? Every club's got a player that you go, I can't wait to see what he's like today.
And unpredictable.
Unpredictable, bit of skill, flash. Rangers have not got many of those.
No.
But he might be one. Jerny might be one, but he might be one at the top end.
One thing that I do like about Rangers when they're in Europe is that Raskin, Barron, Pivot in front of the back four works really well. But I would question, do they need that in Scotland? Do they need the two in there?
I think you're right. I think, especially at home in Scotland, I don't think so. I think you set up with maybe just a number six.
Yeah.
They're protecting and to link the play.
One of the two.
And you go with the two in front
if
you're playing a 4-3-3. And that just promotes more bodies into the box, gives you a better chance of scoring, obviously.
Somebody said to me, it was a Rangers fan, a pal of mine, said to me that now that Ridvan is back, he'll go to left back. Jeff Day will push up one.
Mm.
And then Barami will be where he should be at the 10. And that's where Barami is best. When he plays with Albania and his previous club, he's played as a 10. So you could, if you're playing in Scotland, drop a Raskin or a Barron and have two further players forward.
If that's your intentions. But the argument would be they could probably do that in a minute. Because Barami could play 10, and you've got a winger on the bench in McCausland who's in and out of the team. And,
I'm not. Is McCausland good enough, though?
But I don't know about Jeff Day being a left winger. Jeff Day is brilliant at carrying the ball from the back line up and overlapping under
that.
You
don't think that he's got the delivery or the creativity?
It's not a delivery. It's where you receive the ball.
But I think Redfern's a better left back than him.
Oh, he is. He is defensively. Yeah. But it's the Tavernier argument on the left-hand side. Tavernier, everybody playing one forward. The game's totally different. As a right back, if I was played right midfield, I'm receiving at different positions, different people, you know, pressing me from different angles. It's not your natural game. So I think they two will just battle out for a left back. Maybe they'll go into transfer window, Ewan, and buy a left winger.
Hearts. I was so frustrated watching Hearts against Bruges, Cercle of Bruges.
We
should have beat them. Yeah. They were a poor side. And we created so many chances. We were dominant. We were in possession. We were... and it was just one of those games you were watching, you going, how have we not at least come away with a point?
Well, we watched the full game in here. I thought Hearts were really good for a lot of it. I thought, you know, so
poor
many times...
goal we lost as well.
You know what? Sometimes that happens, a scarf, a bobble in. But I thought he's created loads. And look, where are you sitting on the Shankland? You hear some Hearts fans singing Shankland get to...
I was
to,
pissed off.
That's poor show. I was on
the big Saturday football show and I couldn't help myself. I said that the fans in Bruges embarrassed the football club and they've got short memories because Shankland single-handedly has got us nearly £12 million with his goals in the two seasons we've got into Europe. The boy's been sensational for us and without him, we're not playing in Europe. We're not finishing third.
Exactly.
It's his goals that got us there and we need to remember that. He's going through a tough time and what we need is to back and support him. Yes, I've had a laugh on this podcast, tongue in cheek, I'd sell him for 50 grand just now. But the abuse that that boy got after Cercle of Bruges was bang out of order. The Hearts fans were a disgrace in Bruges. And I thought that Shankland was treated poorly and he deserves better than that.
He does. He certainly does. And I agree with everything you say about his contribution last year, how it got Hearts
and
to the point of it.
As well,
and the year before.
Aye.
But there's a lot of issues. Obviously, the striker gets paid the big bucks and grabs the headlines, especially when he's won player of the year.
Aye.
But you look at Hearts just now and where they are at the bottom of the table. And again, goals they concede in Europe. They've conceded 25 this year. So if your striker is struggling to score and you've only scored 16 in the league this year, then others chip in. However, the guys at the back need to be much better to give yourself a fighting chance. So if you don't win it, don't lose it.
No, and if we're not scoring goals and we're conceding goals, then that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, of course. But Shankland, I do feel for him. He's
so
gone through one of these periods just now. But he'll come out of it, won't he? His link up playing that is great. I seen him at Ibrox a couple of weeks ago. I thought he was really good. The only thing missing was goal.
His goal and his hold-up play was good.
Brilliant.
Link up play is really good. I just want the Hearts fans to get off his back. He's going to be playing his last season at Hearts. Let's remember what he did for us. And I'm sure at some point he will come good and he will score goals again. And I still believe, despite being bottom of the table, Hearts will not be there. We will not be relegated.
Yeah,
I think
you're sticking by that.
We're far too good a team to be relegated. I know that's a cliche thing to say, but I do actually believe it. I don't think we'll get relegated. And we'll get to Hearts versus Aberdeen in just a second. So let's look through the weekend football. Let's start with the champions at home to Ross County. It was 5-0 at half time and it finished 5-0. For Celtic against Ross County. They were unbelievable in that first half.
By the way, what result for Ross County? Getting out of there 5.
Well, at half time, I thought it was going to be 9 or 10.
Yeah. Us two, we are looking at it going, it's 5. The goalkeeper's made a couple of good stops within that first period. He then goes off injured and you're fearing the worst. Replacement goalie comes on, makes a couple of good saves. Celtic in the second period hit the woodwork 3 times, creamed plenty of chances. So this kind of idea that teams take their foot off the gas. Celtic didn't do that. It was just, it didn't go in the back of the net for them. But they were sensational. They're playing some good stuff just now. And I think it's even more impressive, Ewan, because they come off the back of the Bruges game and they make 6 changes and people have a gripe. Well, that's what, whatever, £25 million spent gets you.
Yeah.
How many times in the past we've seen that doesn't guarantee you anything?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, but it helps.
It certainly helps, without doubt. But you have got to have the hunger from those players coming in to want to grab that game by the scruff of the neck. And that was always the danger for County.
Luke McCowan grabbed his opportunity. That boy's outstanding.
He is.
He's really knocking on the door, isn't he, to get in that first team?
He is. And we had this discussion again on Saturday. Loads of callers phoning in saying that he should start on Wednesday night.
Ahead of who?
Well, that was the argument.
And was it Hatate?
Hatate or Bernardo. And I said, look,
would you drop Hatate for McCowan?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
Because my response was, and as harsh as this sounds, and Luke McCowan will know where he is just now, there is levels to the Celtic midfield. Luke McCowan is still finding himself just below the Hatates, Bernardo's, certainly McGregor, obviously. Mm-hmm. Ingles comes with that big price that's maybe going to get him more game time than McCowan, which is just...
Just because
the food chain,
the finances dictate that Ingles has to be given that chance.
Has to be given the chance. But all McCown can do is what he did on Saturday. Three assists, a goal.
He was superb.
Aye. So Brendan Rodgers knows he can rely on him. So it's a good position to be for Celtic and the Celtic manager, that he knows he's got those players that can come in when things aren't going right.
So Celtic 5-0 winners against Ross County. Dundee United 2, St Mirren 0. Yes. What a season. Yes. Jim Goodwin
love
and Dundee it. United are having Mark Wilson.
I love it.
Former player at United. Jim Goodwin under a lot of pressure when he took on the job. They weren't great in the Championship. They kind of scraped through the Championship and got promotion. Nobody was expecting big things from United this season, although I did say at the start of the campaign, I think they'll be all right. They'll be pushing for a top six place. I didn't expect them to be on level on points with Rangers.
Unbelievable. I love seeing them doing well. Yeah, I love seeing them doing well. Look, Jim's a good mate of mine's. Dundee United had two spells at the club. Started there and almost finished there. So, fond of the club. But you're right. Last season, what Jim did was he constructed a squad that would get him out that league.
They struggled at times.
Aye.
And it was a bit closer than they'd hoped.
Especially at home. But I wasn't a fancy football. I think Falkirk are the kind of anomaly with that. In that league, I think you just need to get out of that league. We've seen how hard that is. And you got out. He ripped everything up, didn't he, in the summer, though? 3-4-3, signed players for a 3-4-3 and put it into practice. And it's worked. And he's right up there in fourth place now. They're having a great season, great start. It's just about continuing that for them now.
And what I love about Dundee United is that they're difficult to play against.
Yeah.
They're not conceding many goals. They went to Ibrox and got a 1-1 draw. They've gone and won 2-0 there at the weekend. And they've got goals on their team.
Yeah.
They're well coached. They're well managed. They know their job. They know their roles. Are you surprised to see them only 3 points behind Rangers at this stage of the season?
Of course. I think we all are. You know, I had Dundee United, I think, as a top six finish. Just because I saw some of the signings early doors and I thought they might be good. Jim's got a good connection with, is it Macedonia? He's brought a few players in. So I thought they might be exciting. After seeing how he recruited Miowski and what he was, I thought, yeah, they'll be good. But again, you need that solid base that you touch on. You need a good goalkeeper, which you've had this season, and you need a back three who are dependable and know how to certainly defend their box. And they've got that. Declan Gallagher, outstanding at the weekend again. And they've got experienced players. But the big boy Dalby up front has been a good...
He's been brilliant.
Ah, good signing again.
Is Gallagher knocking on the door of Steve Clark?
No, I think he's got too many ahead of him for that. I think he's done brilliant at that level. And he's been there before and he's served the country well. But I just think that time's maybe...
Gone?
Come and gone for him.
Do you think so?
I just think there's too many ahead of him.
He's been brilliant.
But who's he replacing in there? In that Scotland squad?
For me right now, Souter is the best centre-back Scotland have got.
Okay,
the boy's been outstanding. I like McKenna, he's okay, he's got a bit of pace about him.
Portis is there playing in the Championship, then South, you've got
Hanley. I would say
Hanley.
He's ahead of Hanley because Hanley's not getting a game for Norwich.
Yeah.
For me, he is. I'd have him in the squad. Declan Gallagher's been outstanding.
Yeah, I
think he would deserve a Scotland call-up for the way that he's been playing. But Steve Clark's very loyal to the players that have been there, done it and got the T-shirt. But well done to Dundee United, to Declan Gallagher and also to Jim Goodwin. 2-0 winners against St Mirren and they're 3 points behind Rangers and third. Kilmarnock Dundee. No, it's not been the best season so far for Derek McInnes. I think Europe had a bit to do with that. But I think that excuse is wearing thin now. And they do have their issues as well with players getting sent off, disciplinary issues. They drew 1-1 with Dundee. Dundee took the lead. Killy got a late equaliser. I don't expect Killy to be fighting relegation or anything like that, but they're not clicking, are they?
No, they're not. And that must be a worry for Derek at the minute because Europe has gone, long gone. Okay, at the start of the season, gone. But the disciplinary issue is something that I don't think I can remember seeing. You know, so many red cards in such a short space of time. That obviously does not help him. He went hugely attacking at the weekend.
Yeah,
I think he almost had a front three, and then he had Gary Mackay-Steven, I think, playing the left side as
well. So it's like a 4-2-4.
Oh, and you thought, there's definitely goals in that game. There's always goals in that game. Dundee, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Third time they've played each other this season. Kelly haven't played Motherwell yet. And that's the third time they've played Dundee in the league. The other two ended 3-2. So that's there was right. always going to be goals in it. I heard a report, my mate was at the game. He says it was the worst 45 minutes of football he's seen, but it sparked into life in the second half.
It did with two good goals. Yeah, there were good goals. 1-1-6 for Derek McInnes.
He will be concerned, there's no doubt about it. You look at his squad though, he's got good players. Again, you were mentioning Hearts there. The squad that they've got, too good. He's a top manager, in my opinion. I like Dale, I played under Dale. I know what he is as a manager. They'll get things straightened out. I'm pretty certain of that.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I think they'll be all right. But 1-1 at the weekend at Rugby Park against Dundee. Motherwell versus Hibs, and Hearts fans won't thank me for this, but I'm delighted for David Gray.
Yeah.
Absolutely delighted for the boy. I thought last week when they drew 3-3 with Aberdeen, they showed a fight that had been lacking in the team to get back to 3-3. When you'd think their heads would have gone down when they conceded that third goal in the 94th minute, they go 2 minutes later and they get the equaliser for 3-3. And I think that was a springboard to that win at the weekend, because they go to Motherwell and they win 3-0, and they win 3-0 really well. Yeah. Played great, comfortable, good goals. Is this a turnaround that David Gray's been waiting for?
Four points
in their last two.
Yeah, time will tell, because they're two tough games. When you're a manager and you look at the schedule coming up,
he's got Celtic next.
Yeah,
that's why that game was a must win for him.
A must win. You're right, Ewan, because you look at Aberdeen, Motherwell, Celtic, and you think, I'm already under pressure.
Yeah,
if I don't pick up any points, I'm definitely at the door.
Yeah,
but you're right. The draw against Aberdeen, huge for him. And then the first goal was always going to be crucial, wasn't it, for Park? And it was, by the way, a horror show from Oxborough and the Motherwell goal. Yeah. Don't know what he's thinking. But you need wee bits of luck like that when you're under the caution. David Gray got it. But his team played well. His team deserved it. And again, good players. Individual mistakes have cost him. So I do feel for David Gray over the course of the season.
Are they going to be all right? I have said it all season, and people laugh at me. Hibs will not be in that position come the end of the campaign. I'm not sure they're going to get into top six, but I don't think they're going to be in any relegation problems.
Right. Day one of the season, I was on Sports Scene and we're watching Hibs v St Mirren and the defending in that game. And I highlight, if they defend like that, they will be
relegation candidates. Right. Okay.
Now that's day one. And you think,
right,
I'm saying that because it looks so calamitous and disjointed and that. Now the problem is the pattern has continued.
Yes.
With the goals they concede. But and even if they're scoring three goals for a point at home.
But Mark, it can't continue, can it? It can only get better.
But it has from August till December.
The weekend, there.
Yeah, that's one or two maybe
but
this season.
Do you
season.
Still fear for them?
Until I see a pattern that has stopped and
consistent, run of games.
Over Christmas time, Ewan, we'll get a clearer picture of this come the 1st of January. If they're still conceding calamitous goals, they are bang in trouble.
Ross the Goth.
Hello.
Can you do me a wee favour? I know that Hibs have got Celtic in their next game. What's their couple of fixtures after that? Do you know, Mark, off the top of your head?
I don't know, mate. No.
Because Celtic game, you don't expect them to get anything from it. But it's the games after that I'm really
Ross
curious
County.
To know.
So they are playing Ross County.
Celtic next, then Ross County, then Aberdeen, then Hearts.
So Celtic's where?
Celtic Park.
Celtic Park. And where's...
Ross County's
Easter
home...
Road.
And then Aberdeen's away and Hearts is away.
So there you are. Ross County.
Ross County, they need to win that game. They need to win that game. And if they pick up a point either at Hearts or Aberdeen, that'll be a brilliant run for them.
Yeah, that will be.
Okay, thanks for that, my friend. So yeah, big win for Hibs, 3-0 against Motherwell, easing the pressure on David Gray. Yesterday, St Johnstone 0, Rangers 1. First thing I want to say is, I thought Rangers were in second, third gear at best. It was piss easy for them.
Yeah,
I thought it was. I watched the game for 90 minutes. You'd have thought that St Johnstone were the ones who'd been playing in Europe on Thursday night and got home late on the Friday.
Yeah.
They were that poor. They were awful. Didn't lay a glove on Rangers.
Surprised at that, though. I only caught the highlights because I was up north at Banks of Dee getting pumped by them.
If I was a St Johnstone fan, I would be embarrassed with that performance.
You think so?
They were
what
bad.
What would
they
you expect for St Johnstone? I mean,
so you've got a club like Rangers who have just come back for Europe on the Thursday night. Great win, 4-1. But you've had all week to prepare for this. This is like a cup final to you, because when Rangers Celtic come to town, it's a big game. You're in first minute, first second. You're flying into tackles. You're in their faces. You're making a game of it. Didn't touch them.
No.
Didn't lay a glove on
them. Didn't go near them.
Didn't go near them.
I watched the highlights and, like, I'm going to, well, spin it a wee bit there. If you're St Johnstone, then you lose 1-0 and it's an own goal that you concede. Did Rangers have many openings?
They created a good few chances. The keeper hasn't had any massive saves to make as such, but there's a lot of great moments for Rangers, and they should have won it more comfortably. It was 1-5.
But that's the problem for Rangers throughout the season. If that was the case and they were comfortable and they did create openings, they don't take many of those openings to make games comfortable for them. There's always that edge.
All season, they haven't killed teams off.
Yeah.
So the other teams are always in it.
Always. And it was the same yesterday, and the wee bits I did see, Igamani again looked lively up front. By the way, interesting, Tavernier back in the side. And you know what? All the stick that he gets, the goal when it comes about, I'm wondering, if Sterling's playing right back,
is he there?
Is he in the back post?
No.
Putting Holt under pressure?
He's not.
It's one of the kind of,
he's not,
strong points of Tavernier's game.
He's definitely not there for Sterling. But I thought Tavernier was good yesterday, and maybe he needed to be dropped.
Yeah. Oh, without doubt.
He needed to be dropped because each time he's come back, he's played well.
Yeah.
So Rangers comfortable against St Johnstone yesterday in a 1-0 win. And the final game of the weekend was at Tynecastle. Hearts 1, Aberdeen 1. Hearts are bottom of the table on 10 points, 2 behind Hibs and 3 behind Kilmarnock and St Johnstone, and 5 behind Ross County, who are in 8th. We deserved a point.
Yeah.
We thoroughly deserved a point. I said a couple of weeks ago, I think that Aberdeen will finish second. I'm now beginning to doubt whether that will happen.
I think so, yeah.
I don't think Aberdeen have been great in the last number of games.
What's that? 1.9?
Sorry, 2 out of 9, because they drew with Hibs.
So they did.
They lost to St Mirren, drew with Hibs, drew with Hearts. Celtic will beat them on Wednesday night. So it's going to be 2 points out of 12.
Yeah. So the first little wobble, isn't it, from Aberdeen and Jimmy?
Can you choose, Ross the Goth? Can you have a look at Aberdeen's fixtures for me, please, mate? For after Celtic on Wednesday night.
You need to keep calling them the Goth every time you shout at them.
So
they've got Celtic, and then they have got St Johnstone at home, Hibs at home, Killy away, and Dundee United away.
I think they'll fancy that.
6 points minimum. In those next games?
I think they'll...
6-7 points?
I think, and where you think Celtic will beat them, it'll be a good game, by the way, midweek. But I think they'll be okay. But the first little wobble. So this is an important time for Jimmy Thielen. We keep saying, oh, he's done great, he's done brilliant. But when he gets that first wobble, how does he react?
Well, it's 2 out of 9.
Yeah.
And by Wednesday, it'll be 2 out of 12, I think.
You think so, yeah.
Do you know, I mean, Celtic...
Oh, no, I do think
Celtic
so. Celtic
blew them away at Hampden.
I agree with you. I guess it's... I wonder how he's framing things. I wonder if he had a points total on his head from when he came in till Christmas.
Don't get me wrong, it's amazing what they've done.
Yeah.
What they've done and what they've achieved is amazing. I would love for them to beat Celtic on Wednesday night, because I want them to stay in the race for as long as they can, because I think it's good for Scottish football. But having watched them in recent weeks, I now fear that Rangers will catch them.
Well, Rangers have got a game in hand over them, haven't they? Would cut it to, if all goes the way it's
going. So if Rangers win their game in hand, it's down to 4 points.
4 points.
And they play Rangers at Ibrox in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And it could be down to 1 before you know it.
Well, there you are, all the criticism that Philip Clement's got. And by the way, deservedly so, but Aberdeen just wobbling. But they can turn it round, win against Celtic.
Oh,
Wednesday.
Can you imagine?
Oh,
that would be good if there was Celtic at the weekend. Scottish football needs it. Don't you think Scottish football needs Aberdeen to
a
beat
challenge.
Celtic?
I know
you're a Celtic fan, but for the good of the game.
For the good of the game.
For the good of the game.
I wouldn't want Celtic to lose. They can beat everybody else. I used to love going to Pittodrie and winning at Celtic because it was so hard.
Was that a good feeling?
It was brilliant.
What do you mean it was brilliant? It was so hard. They never turn up for Celtic.
No,
they only play against Rangers.
By the way, I played against Aberdeen and I think it was 1-1. And we're going into the closing minutes. Anyway, we go on and win at 3-1. I think Kenny Miller scores. But just in the closing stages, I closed down a cross for about a yard and I turned my back. And the ball, like, full force off the back of my head. And we win the game. See, when I went into the dressing room, instantly, I'd forgot the score. I was concussed. So I sat down and, you know that way, you know you're in Pittodrie.
But you don't know
delayed
why.
Delayed concussion. And I turned to Steve McManus and I said, what was the score there? And he laughed. He thought I was kidding on. And I said, no, really, what was the score? And they went, we've just come off the pitch. I said, I've no idea what the score was. And he went, Doc, you need to have a look at him. Doc came over. He said, you're concussed. Straight to A&E scan, straight away.
Straight away?
Yeah.
And were you concussed?
I was concussed. I had a concussion 10 days before. So it was the second time.
Right. And what was the protocol at that point? Would you have been missing for the next two or three games? Or how
you know
did
what?
It work
I don't
then?
Think it was. No.
Not like what it is today.
No, I don't think it was today. I think I just. I got the. What's that? Is that a CAT scan? I got one of them at the hospital. At Warburg, and then I don't know.
Did you play the next game?
I think I might have. No wonder I was so bad. Didn't know the score.
Didn't know what was going on. So that was the Premiership at the weekend. So Scottish Cup third round. I'm not going to go through every single result because I'll be here all day. Is there any game that you want to pick out from that?
Where? In the Scottish Cup?
Aye. Any big shocks?
By the way,
you?
Right. On the show on Saturday, we were asked for a big shock and I went stupid. I was rushed. I went Livy to get put out by Broder. But I quickly changed 5 minutes in and I called it.
What'd you call?
Broxburn to beat Stranraer.
Steve Coward, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker, he called that as well.
Did he?
He called it as well because Broxburn are playing well just now.
Oh, I was well chuffed
so
at that.
So he called that. So well done to Broxburn. That was really the big shock, wasn't it?
I don't think there was many more.
Cove beating Inverness.
Well, it's much a muchness to Inverness, obviously, dot points. Same league, Cove up the top, Inverness.
Queen of South going away to Arbroath and winning by a goal to nil.
Ah, that's all right. Clyde Bank beating Bucky Thistle. Bucky Thistle, remember, down to Celtic Park last year.
Aye.
So chuffed because Gordon Moffat, he's my neighbour, next door neighbour, Clyde Bank manager. It keeps him in the next round of the cup. I hope they get a big one.
And your former club, Dumbarton, beat Alloa 3-2.
Brilliant, by the way, for them because that could mean the world to them if they get a good draw. The next round, the finances that come with that. That's the way these teams work.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Could set them up for a year, 3 years. I knew when I was at Brecon, we were always looking for a big draw because that just sustains your club for so long. So well done, Dumbarton.
Congratulations to all the clubs that got through the Scottish Cup. When's the draw?
It's usually Monday, by the way.
Is it a day?
Falkirk, East Kilbride. I'll be after that. Tonight.
Oh, that's tonight. So
that's a belter.
Is it not normally done before so the two clubs know who they might be getting?
I don't know.
It adds a wee bit of edge to it. So the draw will be tonight, and I'm guessing it will be before they two play. Is the game at East Kilbride? I think it is.
I'm not sure.
I think they're away at East Kilbride, which is going to make it a trickier
what
game.
What we want is, as he's in the country, Sir Rod getting back, he should do every draw.
Every draw.
He?
There he goes, diving in. Yeah. So, that's tonight, the final game in the Scottish Cup, and the draw will be held tonight. We'll find out who plays who.
It's usually Gordon Duncan that does the draw.
Yeah, but you want
Stephen Naismith doing the draw.
Stephen Naismith.
What's going on
Stephen
else
Naismith.
Today?
He's on everything just now.
Isn't he? He's turned up everywhere.
Aye. But Gordon, we always say to Gordon, what's your facts? He has to study every team and come up with some sort of fact.
Or some little tidbit about them.
Aye.
So that's the football from the weekend. Now let's look at some refereeing decisions. Go and play a piece of music playing, mate.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
So only a couple of VAR decisions to talk about. Jack Walton may not have denied a clear goal-scoring opportunity whilst wiping out Olasanya outside his box, but he certainly endangered an opponent for me and should have went for an early bath after 50 minutes.
By the way, I think he is lucky.
You think so?
Aye, because... Look, it was going too wide anyway, so I don't think it was denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity.
Dangerous?
He caught him above the knee, didn't he? See when it's slowed down, you see it from behind. And I'm thinking if that is a right back or if that's somebody in any other position and you go in that high, we've seen red cards given for that alone.
Well, the referee's given 5 red cards in just 7 Premiership games.
He
likes a red card.
Oh, he loves it.
So why do you not give one there?
Well, I don't know. He had a strange afternoon, didn't he, with a couple of decisions. I mean, the penalty...
I was going to ask you that.
As well.
What do you think? To get that right or get that wrong?
I thought he got it wrong, again.
So what's VAR doing?
I don't... Well, he's asked to go and look at the monitor, hasn't he? For a couple of them. Mm-hmm. So, and he's come up with his own... I don't know. I thought he had a poor game. Yeah.
You think he got them both wrong?
I thought he got them both wrong, yeah.
St Johnstone versus Rangers. Should Rangers have had a penalty for Jack Sanders' handball in the box? Nah.
Nah, not for me.
Do you know the one we're talking about?
Aye.
So, we're okay with that. I don't even think VAR even looked at it, did they?
Nah, and you know what? That's where Willie Colm wanted to be clear. There was more common sense around that rule. Aye. And I think they got that one right.
Yeah, so do I. So that's VARWTF. You are listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
See, producer John was meant to send Ross the Goth some notes. So he's just flying.
There's no chance
he's
of that.
Flying solo. He doesn't know what buttons to press.
He's never getting notes off John. The guy was trying to auction off a jumper the other week instead of Shankly's dot. What chance has he got a note?
Right, overrated, underrated. We love overrated, underrated. So, each week, either myself or Stephen will bring something that is overrated and underrated, and it's up to you to cast your vote on either being underrated or overrated. Last week, a listener called I Love Fish Fingers wanted to put forward the fact that fajitas were underrated. We'll get to the result in just a wee second. So when it comes to chicken fajitas, are they overrated or underrated? Mark Wilson.
Rats. Underrated by who?
Peppers.
Not in Mexico.
Onions.
I love guacamole, sour cream. Yep, I like it all. I like, the only bit I hate about it is trying to get it all wrapped.
Wrapped in it, no fondant at the bottom.
Aye, so you need an expert to wrap them. But I do enjoy them. They're nice.
But are they underrated or overrated? And how often do you eat them?
That's a good question.
So they're underrated.
I don't eat them that often.
So a lot of people, he thinks that people are underrated.
But Leanne doesn't like them, and she's the cook in the house, so she never makes them. She never puts them in the menu. So I like them though.
So are we ready for a
What's
result?
The difference between a fajita though and a burrito?
Taco?
A taco's crispy, is it not?
Uh-huh.
A burrito?
It's filaments. It's
like
filaments.
Yourself.
Shut your face. Fanny.
No, what's this? So you've got...
No, burrito's filaments.
You've got fajita.
Ross the Goth, go and Google.
What's the other Mexican things you get?
A burrito's like wrapped up. A fajita's not.
What's a fajita? Just rolled.
A fajita's folded. A burrito's wrapped.
What about an enchilada?
That's got sauce and cheese on top.
Man, you know a lot about Mexican food, mate.
Hold on a wee second. In a burrito, am I right or am I wrong when it comes to its filled with mince and onions and flavourings?
I think it's usually filled with mince, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if you have a mince fajita?
You can't have a mince fajita.
Ah, you can.
No, you can't.
You can put it in you want in a fajita.
No, you can't.
That's a soft shell taco. If you put mince in it.
So what's the difference? It's all the same kind of stuff. Wraps. Old El Paso. By the way, El Paso's had his own. He's sewn up the market. Same shit in every box. Only with a different thing. Get your burritos. Get your tacos. It's all the same.
So let's get to a result of fajitas. Are they underrated? Aye or no? Let's find out. Give us a drum roll. Jesus. Turn the music off. Turn the music off.
I was not turning off then.
Right. And you need to pull your fader down when you press the drum roll so we don't hear the clicking.
Leave him, mate. He's doing a great job.
Right, so let's find out if fajitas are underrated or overrated. 51% of people say they're underrated.
Yeah.
So it's a close vote. 51% say underrated. So see, before we move on and do anything
else. Do you
like
fajitas?
I love fajitas. I got a message from your missus.
What's she saying?
She says, I'm really sorry, I'm in a meeting so I couldn't answer.
She's always in meetings. Or so she tells me.
Let's find out if she's in a meeting still.
She's going to hate you. I did tell her I was coming here, I'm sure I told her.
Maybe that's why she's no answer, because she's the one you
she knows.
She's the one you find about us.
Hi, Ian.
See the way she answers the phone there? She loves me.
I never get that answer.
Hi, Ian.
So excited, isn't she?
You're on the podcast with Mark Wilson and I. Well, you know Mark because he's your man.
You've just called me by full name. Hi, Leanne.
Yeah, thanks.
Right, Leanne, earlier when I was trying to phone you, we were talking about your shower habits.
Okay.
And you do something that I do in the shower.
Brush your teeth.
Yes.
Thank God you said that there. Thank God.
Whew. I mean, who doesn't brush your teeth in the shower?
Exactly.
Leanne's been called. What was one guy called you? A maniac.
I called me a maniac for brushing my teeth
called
in the shower.
Called you a maniac. And I said that you did it as well, which is weird.
So, see, when it gets to the process of brushing your teeth in the shower, you don't rinse your mouth out with the warm water, do you?
Yeah.
You do. I don't do that.
Stinking.
Well, how do you rinse it?
Disgusting.
I just spit everything out and then I'll use mouthwash. I use Listerine when I get out the shower.
So your mouth full of toothpaste for the rest of your duration of your shower?
Yeah.
Leanne, are you busy at the moment, actually, in that big company you work for?
Clearly not.
There must be people surrounding you.
Oh, it is lunchtime. Hi. What are you having?
Baked potato today with cheese.
Oh, that's nice. By the way, chicken. We're just saying overrated and underrated. Put that on overrated.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So just, you can stay here for a second, Leanne, because Mark is now about to nominate something for overrated, underrated. So Mark, what have you got for us?
Oh, actually, Leanne's involved in this then.
All right, okay.
Because I've had to think about this, very topical. Christmas markets, overrated. Overrated. Rubbish.
Controversial.
Now, I'm glad you're on the phone, Leanne, because she did suggest to me, do you want to go to the Christmas markets next week in Edinburgh on Sunday?
Well, that was actually a decoy so that we can go for lunch at one of my favourite restaurants through there.
The Shum. She loves the Shum. You beat the Shum.
It's brilliant.
Aye.
St. Andrew's Square.
Aye.
It's brilliant.
I'll go to the Shum, but I'm not going to Christmas markets. They cram all these wee wooden huts in the smallest of spaces and then charge you a tenner for a hot dog. It's the biggest rip-off in the world. They're overrated, and everyone on this podcast will agree.
Christmas spirit and all that, Mark, yeah.
Aye. Christmas shit.
So, Leanne, I'm going to ask you, overrated, underrated Christmas markets?
I kind of agree with them, with this country. If it was in Austria or Prague or I would prefer them there, I think.
Yeah, nah. I take you there.
Prague's lovely this time of year.
By the way, I've heard your square's lovely this time of year. The Christmas market's brilliant there. They have mulled buckfast as well. Have you seen that, Paul? That mulled buckfast.
I've seen it.
£8 a glass. I'll just get a full bottle of buckfast for cheaper.
And just stick it in a pot.
Exactly.
And throw some cinnamon sticks in.
Ah, they're rip-offs, man.
Leanne, I'll let you get back to your baked potato and cheese and beans.
Okay, thank you.
Love you, Leanne.
Love you too.
See? Now you never say that. Love you, Leanne.
Love you too.
Oh, that's a first.
Cheers, honey, bye.
That's a first. Right, do you agree with me on that?
With Christmas markets, I've been to a few Christmas markets, including one in Lapland.
Ah, well, that's nice. That's different.
The one in Edinburgh can be a bit...
It's mayhem,
it's over the top.
It's mayhem.
You can't even
move. And you know what they've loved doing now with Christmas markets? Chucking in fairground rides.
I know, the big swings and all that.
Big swings.
Aye.
How much is it? A tenner a head, mate.
I know, it's mental.
A tenner a head. But they're good in Germany where they originated, but
see,
not here.
See, when I went to Lapland, just to give you a wee bit of background to that.
Aye.
Well, Lapland, when I went there, it was with the charity When You Wish Upon a Star.
And oh,
it was
just, very good.
It was absolutely gorgeous seeing all the kids who have obviously got life-limiting conditions and everything and going through the Christmas market and the snow and the reindeer and all that. Absolutely amazing. Brilliant.
Magical.
So loads of great memories of supporting that charity and all the kids in Lapland. And talking of Christmas, and we've got our Christmas tree up and everything, I'm going to ask you a wee question because I was talking about this on the breakfast show this morning. Favourite Christmas movie of all time, Mark? I'm not going to speak to you before
Christmas. I like Elf, like everybody would.
Yeah.
No, I like, it's a curveball. You ever seen the film Scrooged with Bill Murray?
Amazing. The telly executive. It's amazing.
Yeah. I like that one. That's always a good one. I obviously love Home Alone and, you know, try and watch that once a year. But what are you going to give me? You're going to give me a...
It's Muppet's, Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Mate, I love it as well.
Muppet's Christmas Carol every single time.
I love it as well.
Isn't it the best?
Ah, brilliant. Yep.
Right, got another question for you. So we've done the underrated, overrated, which is fantastic. So go and cast your vote on our Twitter page and Instagram and all that stuff. When it comes to Christmas markets, is it overrated or underrated? So you know how last week I was talking about baths and the strange things that goes on in baths and that's what do you right, do and all aye. That stuff. So somebody has sent me this question. Good morning. Sorry, say good morning. I say good afternoon, good evening to Wes. All right, Ewan. Excuse the late hour that I'm sending you this message. I've had a couple of beers and I'm sat with a girlfriend and we're just talking about this conundrum, possibly one for the podcast. You know jam?
Like jam. The stuff you eat?
The stuff you eat. Jam you put on the toast. Band. Yeah. No, you know jam that you eat, you put on toast. You spread it on toast, you put in scones, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So you get strawberry jam, you get raspberry jam, you get blackberry jam, and loads of other kinds of jam. So why isn't marmalade called orange jam?
Ah. That must be made a different way, is it?
It's a jam.
How are you making marmalade?
It's a jam.
The boiling oranges.
But it's a jam.
Aye.
The same texture as strawberry jam, raspberry jam, apricot jam.
I don't like marmalade, do you?
But apricots, jam. Strawberries, jam. Raspberries, jam. Blackberries, jam. Blueberries, jam. So why is oranges that make marmalade not orange jam?
I have the answer, if you want it.
Do you have an answer to that?
Jams are made from one type of fruit or vegetable, whereas marmalade is made from oranges and a mix of different citrus fruits.
Oh, that is magnificent knowledge from Ross the Goth. Brilliant, Ross.
So what Thank do you, you mean a mixture of different citrus fruits?
There'll be lemon and lime, and then oranges as well.
That's it. Throw in a few satsumas, easy peelers.
Well, we got an answer to the question, Wes. There you go.
There you go, Wes.
He's up drunk.
I bet you and the missus are some laughing a night out, man. Chatting about jams, half jarred. What do you think about this jam? Jeez, get a rest, Wes.
They were talking about my bath habits and then they had this other
that's
question.
Even more disturbing, mate. Mm-hmm.
On the Masked Footballer, let's do it. So it's time for the Masked Footballer. The producer has sourced the footballer. We have to guess who it is through a series of yes or no questions. So, you don't know what's going on here, do you?
Aye, I've been on before.
I've not guessed him. Yeah, no. No, we've got the last one.
Oh, did we? Who was it?
Sean Dillon,
ex-Dundee United.
Yeah.
Ah, he was a teammate of mine as well.
Good player.
Brilliant.
Nice guy.
What a professional. Best guy ever. Yeah.
Still pals with him?
Aye. Aye, Sean.
You see him?
I don't see him, no. I thought he would have been playing in the Masters.
Best guy ever. I don't see him.
I'm not joking. He's the nicest fella you'll meet.
But surely you want to keep nice guys within your inner circle.
Nah, I don't keep in touch with many people.
Do you know?
Nah, no.
Keep yourself to yourself.
That's it.
All right. Nah. I mean, you very rarely text me back.
I don't. Nah. I hate texts.
So do I.
Aye.
But it takes me just to reply to you as well. So we're kind of the same.
Aye, I don't like texts.
Nah, I don't like them either. So here we go. What we know so far about the mass footballer is that they aren't playing in the Premiership. It isn't a woman. Haven't played in the Champions League, but do have caps for the Scotland international team. So what's our next question to narrow it down for a mass footballer?
Right, read them again quickly, sorry.
Do have caps for the Scotland international team.
Right.
They haven't played in the Champions League.
Okay.
It's not a woman. And they haven't played in the Premiership. Or they aren't playing in the Premiership just now.
They aren't playing in the Premiership at the minute. Okay.
Do we know? Did we ask the question? Did we ask the question, are they still playing today? Do you know if we asked that?
Surely it's got to be a current player.
I can check.
To be the masked footballer. Otherwise, it would be the masked ex-footballer.
No, it's not. Doesn't say here that you've asked that.
No, but he is currently playing because I think that's what he is. He's a masked footballer. He's clearly playing football still today.
Just be the masked guy out in the street.
I'm just double checking that's the case, isn't it, Ross the Goth? Because you've got the answer there in front of you.
I do have the answer in front of me.
And the person's still playing football today.
I feel like that's a question.
No, it's not. It's bloody not. It's really not.
If you're going to want to use that as your question, that's fine.
Ross.
Well, otherwise, it defeats the purpose. He's just the masked unemployed
footballer. Or the masked ex-footballer. It's not, the footballer clearly
he's obviously still playing. Ross, are you currently Googling if you're still playing at the moment?
I have it in front of me, but if you want to use that as your question...
No, we're not using it as a question. I was just double-checking that this is a footballer who's currently playing, because all the other footballers we've had on this game are still playing the game today. Sean Dillon's playing, Scott Allen's
still
playing.
They have played football at some point.
Yeah. We all have. Mate, we all have.
Professionally.
Well, no, I didn't play professionally, but if this was Mark Wilson, for example, if he was the mass footballer, he wouldn't be the mass footballer because he's not playing football.
Do you want to use that as your question?
No, Ross.
Aye or no?
No, it's not the question we're asking.
But let's narrow. What about narrowing his position down? Would that get us anywhere?
What do you mean?
So defender, goalkeeper, defender, midfielder, forward.
Are we? That's four questions. Well, just because you ask if he's in defence and it has to be...
No, hold on. So he's got caps for Scotland.
Yeah.
And he's not playing in the
Premiership. I think he's still playing. Right, let's just
take
it from
there.
Right,
he's still playing.
He's not in the Premiership. Does that mean he's in the lower leagues or is he down south?
Oh, right, okay. Right, I'm thinking he's going to be here in Scotland. So I'm going to say that. That would have narrowed it down.
But he could be down south.
He could be down south.
I think he must be playing in Scotland.
He must be for...
Is he still playing in the lower leagues of Scotland, or do we pick a league out? Do we pick the Championship?
I think that, because that narrows it down. There's not many players that play in the Championship.
Do we go just as a broad question, does he play in the lower leagues of Scotland, or do we just go for the Championship?
I'm going to...
Do we go for the Championship?
Go for the Championship.
We're going for it.
That'll set you up nicely for next week.
Okay, and if it's wrong, then it could be England. Because I don't think this player will be in League One or League Two. It has to be the Championship. If it's not the Premiership, it has to be the Championship. If it's not the Championship,
okay. So if you go the lower leagues in Scotland, it's obviously ruling out how many clubs in England. So it's ruling out all England. So you're narrowing it down, aren't you? I think that one. Lower leagues of Scotland.
But I think also that you are also benefiting by asking if it's the Championship. If it's not the Championship, then he's clearly in England. Because I don't see him being in League One or League Two. Do you think he'll be in League One or League Two? I don't.
Is Fraser Fyvie get any caps for Scotland? He's in Cove, isn't he?
That's
League One.
League One. Did Fraser Fyvie get called up for Scotland?
I don't know.
I don't think he did. Was not he good sure. enough to get called up?
He won the FA Cup, didn't he, with Wigan? I don't know.
Should we go with the Championship?
Right, go for it. Go for it, mate. Since it's your show,
I'm
just a guest.
No, I know you're the guest, but I'm asking you, do you think that's a good question? Because it's not the Premiership.
Ask if he's playing in the Championship.
And if it's not the Championship, then we think he's playing in England.
It's got to be.
Right, okay, let's do it. So my question for the mass footballer is this. Do you currently play for a club in the Scottish Championship?
No.
So we think England then? Well, that opens up a can of worms. It's not going to be... Who's in League One and League Two?
I don't know. That's
not a good start.
That's really annoyed me. Because if it's in League One or League Two, John, what are you playing at, man, with these footballers that you're finding? I mean, they've got Scotland caps. If they've got Scotland caps
plural.
Well,
because I've not got Scotland caps. I've got Scotland cap. We appear at the end, not at S.
Okay. Right, okay. Then, if you've got any idea as to what our next question should be for the mass footballer, then drop us a message on our Facebook page, Twitter page, Instagram, and all that jazz. So are we ready to do this, Mark Wilson? I think it's your favourite part of the show. It's where we do the quiz.
The quiz? Oh, I love the quiz.
Let's do it. Press that button, mate. Okay, five questions. We both get the same questions. We write down our answers. And then if you fancy, you can go for a top bin question where it's worth 2 points. I'm pretty good against the guest co-hosts.
I think you beat me the last time I was on you.
Beaten you a couple of times, mate.
A couple? But Cole Donaldson was on, wasn't he?
He ruined it for you.
He was mince.
You could use your missus's phone, a friend, if you want.
I don't think so. She's heard enough of us.
Okay, let's do this. Let's start the quiz. Ross the Goth is in charge of the questions. Who sent you these questions?
I wrote them myself.
Oh, you did that yourself? What's producer John done the last few days? He's done a call.
Not sending me a handover. That's what he's done.
Yeah, asshole. <what he's> Okay, let's do it. Question one.
Before Lauren Shankland, who was the last player out with the Old Firm to win the SPFL Golden Boot?
Mark, you're scribbling away.
It's between two for me. And I think I've picked the wrong one. But...
Going to give that question again?
Before Lauren Shankland, who was the last player out with the Old Firm to win the SPFL Golden Boot?
No, I'm scribbling that out because I think he was done in the last week.
Not that we'll need it, but I think I've got the answer. Have you got an answer?
I've got an answer, mate.
Okay, then you can stop the timer. Stop the timer. I'll go first. I'm going to go with the Hearts legend, and I've written it down, Mr. John Robertson.
John Robertson? Oh, I've went Michael Higden.
Michael Higden?
You know.
And Marshall is saved! Are we both wrong?
You are both wrong.
Is it Regan Charles
Cook? It is Regan Charles
Cook.
Oh, no! Ross County.
Regan Charles Cook.
Oh, you've written it down!
I've written it down and I've scrubbed it out! Balls!
Why did you scrub that out?
Because I thought Yakimakis pipped him in the last day.
They were joint. So that's why it's out with SPFL.
Oh, out with no! Amazing. Right, okay, question two.
Which instrument is displayed on Hibs' badge?
I know that.
We know that.
Have we not had that before? You got an answer?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm ready, but you can turn the timer off. I went with a harp.
Harp.
Did you write that down? Yeah, you have. Harp.
Harp.
Perfect. 1-1.
It is indeed a harp. You are one each.
Okay, question three.
Question number three. Jimmy Phelan is from which country?
The Aberdeen manager?
Yep.
Jimmy Phelan.
Which country?
Is it? Oh. It's one of three.
Yeah, one of the three cold ones.
They'll have good Christmas markets. Have you got an answer?
But I'm not sure. Again, I've got an answer.
So have I.
I don't know if it's right. You're right, it is between...
It's one of three, isn't it? Where did he come from? Where did he sign him for? Was it... All right. You slot the timer. You go first, Mark.
I've went Sweden.
Right, I'm happy with that because I went Sweden as well. So whether we're right or wrong, we're not getting a point, or we are getting a point. Get in.
Yeah.
So 2-2, going to question four.
Ooh.
Do you want to go top bin?
Top bin, but just means it's harder.
Much harder.
Yeah, they are harder the questions.
Give me a top bin. Give me a top bin.
Top bin.
Give me a top bin.
He wants top. I can't. That's brave of you when we're 2-2.
That's all right.
Wow, got Mark on his own. Top bin.
Okay. Give me a Ross Segoth.
How many Champions League stroke European Cup games have Celtic played?
Oh, by the way, when you said something's harp,
it's top bin, Mark.
Holy shit. What? Mate, when you said it was hard, I thought it was going to be like something relevant.
No.
Not like guess the number.
Guess the
between one
number.
And a million.
Well,
how many European Cup games, Champions League have Celtic played?
Mark, if you fuck around, you find out.
Oh, man, okay. Jesus Christ. Did you know it was going to be that hard?
No, I didn't. I've not got a clue what's going to be.
Who wrote that, Ross?
Right, hold on. Do you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm a really nice guy, right? Because I think that question is so fucking hard.
I mean, I was told to make it really hard.
Yeah, but no,
it's harder than that hard.
That's hard. I mean, even at University Challenge, you're not getting that question.
I have another question.
No,
rubbish.
What I'm going to do is, because I'm a nice guy, I'm going to accept an answer 20 either side of the right answer.
Okay.
You don't need to write it down because it's your question.
Yeah, it's not beat the pundit tiebreaker rules here, Mark.
No. I'm going to go.
How about we think about it? Do you want a timer on it while you're.
Give me a 30 second timer. Or 20 seconds.
It's a 60 second timer you get.
So, how about we think about it? So, it's every game they've played just. Well, in qualifiers or every.
Including qualifiers, including group stages.
Do you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to go 50 either side of the right answer.
I think 20 either side.
All right, 20 either side.
Right, okay. This is the top end
we're talking about.
Right, there. It's as good as any number. I'm going to go, mate, 120.
more than that. I was in 20 either side. It's way more than that.
120. I was right on you go, Ross.
Wait, look, I'm about to give you the answer. Is that how this works?
That's a quiz, mate. We need the answer.
222.
Oh, it was 100, it?
Miles out.
100, it?
And do you know what? Because he was brave in going for his top bid.
Yes,
you. I'll go for the
Here
top
we go.
Bid. Question four.
Guess a number between
It's a number
a
question, your favourite.
Go on.
Across Scotland's top four leagues, how many penalties have been given this season?
Ordinary questions. Ross, you will not be getting called up to the chase anytime soon to be the question master.
Do you want to give me some numbers either side? That was good.
Ah, mate, listen, I'll give you how many penalties this season across all the divisions?
Yep.
Right, I'll give you. We've got to narrow that down, though. I'll give you 20 either side.
What?
20. 20 either side.
Nah, that's too many because I don't think it's that many. I don't even think there's that many penalties in the Premiership.
Ridiculously hard.
I'm not taking 20 to 6. That'll be too easy then. I would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Across all four divisions?
Between all four divisions. I don't think it's as many as you think it is.
Do you want five either side?
Can I have five either side?
I'll give you five
if you want.
Five either side, because I gave you 20 either side of your one. I'm going to go. I'm going to go 56.
Across four divisions.
My final answer. Get in! Get in! Yes! 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 Get in!
The answer is 53.
Oh, shut my God! No way!
Do you know how I worked that out? I just went, right, let's average it 10 in each league and add a few more onto it. And there's only three out.
I like that logic.
Get in.
That's outrageous.
So 4-2 up, which means
4-2 up, but there's still two questions. So if you
there's one. I need to take a top bins again. Have you got another top bins?
You only get one top bin.
You only get one top bin.
Oh, I've won the quiz. Yes. Yes. Get in. Yes. I am the champion. I am the champion, and it feels so good to win the quiz. Stephen Mill, get it right up, yeah. Here I am today, the champion. Mark Wilson, you're a bucking loser. Again, he's a loser.
By the way, is that three times in a row I've been done on here?
Three times in a row you've been done.
Well
and
done.
And you even had your pal Cole Donaldson, the Falkirk captain, the last time you were in, and you still got beat by me. You now need to hold your head in shame because I am the champion and play our cheerio music. What music?
Oh, what a show.
Are we inviting Ross Sigoth back?
What a show. No, he said he's one in the show. Show man. Don't get him ask any questions.
Thanks.
Sure.
The music's really loud, Major. Turn it down. Ross Sigoth, thanks for nothing. Mark Wilson is always stepping into the breach when Stephen decides to go on holiday for like, how many holes does he have?
By the way, he must have some cash up, boy.
You know, it's not his missus.
Is it?
She's a heart surgeon.
Where's he away?
She's a heart surgeon.
What?
Aye. She's a heart surgeon.
Oh.
So she gets flown all over the world to go to all these heart conferences.
And what, he goes with her?
And he goes with her. He tags along.
That's amazing.
Isn't it, Jamie? He's got the best gig. He's got the best girlfriend. No, it's actually his wife.
His wife now? Oh, so it is.
They're married, aye. Stephen will be back next week. Wave, Mark, wave. Bye. Bye.
Bye.